Yaakov Avinu calls his children in, and he wants to reveal to them when Mashiach is going to come, according to some opinions at least. Legalos lehemes haketz. He wants to tell them when the end is going to be, when Mashiach is going to come. And for some reason, that eludes him, and he forgets, or something happens. And instead, he starts saying other things, starts giving them brachas. Few problems. First of all, if I would have come here today, prepared to tell you what's on this paper, and I lost the paper, and I completely forgot what I wanted to tell you, I wouldn't sit here and all of a sudden open my mouth and start telling you somebody else. I would say, look, I prepared something. I forgot what it was. Right? I don't have my notes. So I'm going to have to prepare something else. So give me some time. I'll come back next week, whatever it may be. I wouldn't just start saying something else if I prepared something else. So all of a sudden, Yaakov needs to start saying something else. What did he say? So the Torah says, V'zos asher diber lohem aviyem, v'yivorech osam, ish asher kibir chasob be'eri. Everybody gave a bracha. Gave him brachas. Is that really true? Let's see, Reuven, what bracha did he get? Reuven, you could have been the king, the bechor, and the Kohen Gadol, and you lost them all. For a bracha like that, I wouldn't come. Shimon and Levi, Oror Apam Kiyoz, got their anger cursed. For a bracha like that, I don't think I'd come either. So out of 12, three of them already didn't get any brachas. And the other nine, you're like a donkey, you're like a snake, you're like, it's very nice, but where's the bracha? There's a medrash that says the following. We're going to start with a lot of questions. Eventually, we'll start getting some answers. There's a medrash that says that when Yaakov Avinu called in his children, so he looked at their names, and he saw that in none of the names of the Shvatim appear the letters Ches and Tes. No Shev that has a Ches in its name or a Tes. So he said, wow, there's no Chet in the names of my children, so I can tell them when Mashiach's going to come. Then he looked again, and he saw there's two other letters that don't appear in any of the names of the Shvatim. Kuf and Tzadik, Kates. He said, well, there's no Chet, but there's no Kates either. I can't tell them when the Kates, when the Mashiach's going to come. Now, I understand that there's no Chet in the names of the Shvatim, right? There's no sin. It symbolizes the fact that they're sinless. But there's no Kates. What, Mashiach's not going to come? It's not hinted. It's not in the names of the Shvatim. Why not? Another Medrash. The Medrash says, what can Yaakov Avinu be compared to? To a confidant, a friend of the king who's dying. The king has a good friend and the friend is dying. And the friend calls in his children. He wants to tell his children the mysteries that the king confided in him. The secrets that the king told him. And he's just ready to tell his children the secrets of the king. And he sees the king is standing there together with his children by his bed. So right away he changes and he says, Hizaru bikvodo shel melech, be very careful of the honor of the king. So too, Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell the secrets of Hashem when Mashiach's going to come, but he sees that the Shechinah is there by his bed together with his children. So instead of telling them the secrets, he gives them brachas. There's only one problem. Chazal made up the mashal, right? You make up a mashal any way you want to fit the nimshal. If I would have made up the mashal, I would have made it like this. The friend of the king is dying, just like Yaakov Avinu is dying. He wants to tell his children the secrets of the king, just like Yaakov wants to tell him when Mashiach's going to come. He sees the king is standing by his bed together with his children. Yaakov sees the Shechinah is there, and instead of telling them the secrets, he blesses them. That would be exactly the mashal fit the nimshal. Why did Chazal add this idea that doesn't have any place in the nimshal, that he told them, be careful of the honor of the king? Where does that fit in? Yaakov didn't tell his children to be careful of the honor of the king. He gave them brachas. In order to understand this, I want to start with some other questions. Firstly, there's a medrash that says, Bizchus ve'eila shmos b'nei Yisrael, miskaimim ve'eila toldo shamayim v'aretz. In the schus of the names of b'nei Yisrael, Shemayim va'aretz exist. Now, what does that mean? I understand. Maybe the world exists in the schus of Klal Yisrael, but in their names? the schus of their names? What does that mean? In addition, there's another question here, and that is the book of Shmos. Right? We're finishing Bereishis. Next week we're going to start Shmos. All the Chumashim have two names. One name that you're familiar with, Bereishis Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Dvarim. But they all have another name, a thematic name, a name that goes on the theme, and the Chachamim gave that name. And you may think you don't know that, but I'm going to tell you, you do know it, but let me tell you what they are first. Bereishis is called Sefer HaYetzirah, the book of creation. Shmos is called Sefer HaGeula, the book of redemption. Vayikra is called Toras Kohanim. Bamidbar is called Chumash HaPikudim, because it starts with a census and ends with a census. So it's the Chumash of counting. And Devarim is Mishnah Torah. Now, some of those you've heard, and some of them you've never heard before, that these are the names of the Svarim, but you really did hear them before, but not in Hebrew. You heard them in Greek. Because those are the names that you see on a Chumash in English. Bereishis is what? Genesis. What's Genesis? Sefer HaYetzirah. Exodus is the Yetziyah Mimitzrayim, is Geula. Leviticus means the laws of the Levi, the laws of the Kohanim. Bamidbar is Numbers. Do you ever wonder why Bamidbar is called Numbers? What does Numbers have to do with the desert? But that's the theme, because it's Chumash HaPikudim. It's the Chumash of the Numbers. Counting of Bnei Yisrael. That's Chumash HaPikudim, is Numbers. And Devarim is Deuteronomy. Big word, but it means the review of the law. Anami is a law, and Deuter means the review the second time around. That's Mishneh Torah. All of the names, the theme name and the regular name, fit very nicely, except for one. Bereishis, in the beginning, is Sefer HaYetzirah, the book of creation. Fits beautifully. Vayikra, God called to Moshe from Ohel Moed to tell him what? The laws of the Kohanim. Fits perfectly. Bamidbar, what happened in the Midbar? They were counted when they went in, they were counted, they went out. So Bamidbar is Chumash HaPikudim. And Devarim, what were the Devarim that Moshe spoke? Mishneh Torah. The only one that the two names don't seem to go together is Shmos. Shmos is names and Sefer HaGeula. What does names have to do with Geula? What's the connection between the two names of the Sefer? Another Medrash. And then we'll start giving some answers. The Medrash says, Rashi brings it down in last week's Sedra and again in Shmos, that Bnei Yisrael are as precious as the stars. Just like the Rabban Hashem counts every star and calls it by name, Mona Nispor LaKochavim LeKulam Shemos Yikra, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts every one of the Shvatim and calls them by name, when they're alive and after they're dead, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and so on. Now, on the surface, what is so precious about the Rabban Hashem calling every star by a name, calling every shevet by a name? What's so precious about that? When I was in America recently, and this has been going on for about 30 years, I heard the following advertisement on the radio. They said that this time of year, when I was there, is a gift-giving time for the Goyim. Right? So holidays, they give gifts. And they said, in case you have a problem, which may have existed in America, not really anymore, but if you have somebody on your list that has everything, so what gift can you give them? So they said, we have an idea for you. If you'll send, 30 years ago it was $25, now it's up to $75. If you'll send $75 to the following address, we will name a star for the person that you want to give the gift. We will send them a certificate that says that this and this star is named for you, and we will register it in the star registry that star is named for this person. Let me tell you a little secret. You can go out tonight, take a piece of paper, write on it star registry, and go and name every star in the sky for yourself, your family, anybody else that you want to name. And it'll be just as legal and effective as what they're doing for $75. You can do it for free. Right? Anybody can write a book that says star registry. There is no such thing. Write in it, in my star registry, that this star is named for me, and send you a certificate saying that. So if you want to spend $75, you can. If you want to name all the stars for yourself, you can do that too for free. That's what it means. God calls every star by a name deal. What does it mean? In order to understand that, we have to understand what a name is. In Hebrew, the name of something represents its essence, its qualities, its talents, its abilities, its capabilities. It says that Adam HaRishon called names to everything in creation. He didn't just arbitrarily say, okay, dog, cat, whatever, just made it up, right, Kelev. But the name represents in many ways the qualities of that animal. Right? A Kelev is called a Kelev. One reason is because it has Lev Echad. It has one heart to its owner. It's a very faithful, what's it called, faithful pet, a dog. Man's best friend, right, the Kelev. But there's other things. The gematria of Kelev, the way the letters look, it represents the essence of the thing. And a person's name also represents their qualities, abilities, capabilities, not just the name that you're called by. But there's Chazal say, every person has four names. The name Hashem gives you, the name your parents give you, the name your friends give you, and the main one is the name you make for yourself. I understand that to mean the following. Since the name represents your qualities, tchunot, kishronot, ma'alot, represents your essence, what you are. Everybody has different qualities, different characteristics, different personality traits. Where do they come from? Some of them are put into your neshama when it was created. That's you. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created every neshama to serve a different purpose, and he equipped them with the means of doing that. So everybody has different character, different qualities, different talents, abilities, capabilities. That's the name Hashem gives you. Some talents you get because of heredity, torasha. You get it from your parents. If your parents were musically inclined, you're going to also have a talent for music sometimes. You get it through heredity, through your genes. That's the name that your parents give you.
Hashem gives that.
No, Hashem, but Hashem doesn't give it direct. It's not part of your neshama to begin with. It's something that comes indirectly through your parents. And then some things you learn from other people. You pick up from your friends. That's the name that your friends give you. All of those things are just potential. Potential is like a big zero. If you have a lot of zeros, it's still zero. But if you have a lot of zeros and you put something in front of it, it becomes a very big number. So too, the main name is not what Hashem gave you, what your parents gave you, what your friends give you, what you make of it, how much you bring that out. That's the name you make for yourself. So it comes out that the name of a person represents his potential, his qualities, his abilities, his capabilities. Okay. And what a person's name is down here doesn't always fit what his name is up there. That's why it says, by many tzaddikim, it mentions their name twice. By the Akedah, it says, Avraham, Avraham. And the Medrash says, Avraham lamata, Avraham lamala. The same Avraham that God saw potentially, that's the Avraham that reached that potential down here. Okay, at the Akedah, Avram reached his potential. So that is what is in a name. If that's the case, you can understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every Jew is precious, just like the stars. Every star has a different quality. It's made of different makeup, different gases that make up that star. And every star has a purpose in creation. Why that star specifically is needed. We don't know why, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows why. Every star is different. Every star has a purpose in creation and has the abilities, capabilities, talents to fulfill its purpose. So too, every Jew is special. Every Jew was invested with talents, abilities, capabilities that the Rabbanu Shel Olam invested in them, and he counts them. Each one is important. Every person is important. Every person is called by name, meaning their talents, their abilities, their capabilities. And you understand then that in the schus of the names of Bnei Yisrael, the world exists. Meaning, the Rabbanu Shel Olam created the world for the sake of the Jewish people, but not just stam for the sake of the Jewish people, because of what they can do. What potential we have to bring out our unique talents, abilities, and capabilities. That is what it means that in the schus of Bnei Yisrael, the schus of the names of Bnei Yisrael, the world exists. It also explains why the Geula is hinted to in the names of the Shvatim. Okay? Because what is Geula? Geula means the time when the world will reach its completion and perfection. The world will reach its perfect state. That's the Geula. All the potential that exists will be revealed and redeemed and come to the surface. That's called Geula. How does the world reach perfection? When every individual will bring out their perfection, then the world will reach its perfection. So the perfection of the world depends on the abilities, capabilities, and talents, the names of Klal Yisrael. When we will realize our names and bring out that potential, then the Geula will come. There's a story, this is not a medrash, this is not a story, that brings this idea out very nicely. The story goes like this. There was a man who was reading a magazine, and his little daughter, 5-year-old daughter, was bothering him constantly. So he couldn't make any headway in the magazine. Every 2 minutes she came, I need a drink of water, this, that. So he wanted to keep her busy. So he saw in the magazine there's a page that has the map of the world on it. So he tore out the page, tore it into 20 little pieces, and said, I have a puzzle for you. This is the map of the world. Go put the puzzle together and don't come back until you finish. Now he figured she's only 5 years old. She doesn't know what the world looks like. So the only way she can put the puzzle together is by matching the tears one to the other. It's going to take her hours to do that. She doesn't know what if she knew what the picture looks like, she could put it together very simply. But if you don't know what the picture looks like, you're going to have to put it together by matching the shape of the tears. It's going to take her hours. He said, don't come back until you finish. He figured he has a few hours now of peace and quiet. 15 minutes later, the girl comes back. And she says, Tati, I finished the puzzle. It's just like it was when you gave it to me before you tore it up. He said, it's impossible. There's no way in 15 minutes that you made the puzzle right unless you knew what the picture or map of the world looked like, and you don't know what that looks like. She said, come and see. And sure enough, on the glass top of a coffee table, the map is reconstructed 100% back together right. The guy says, wow, you're a genius. I didn't know that you knew what the world looks like and you're able to put the map together so quickly. She said, no, it was real easy. You see, on the other side of the page, there was a picture of a person. I just put the person together and the whole world fell into place. If you want the world to fall into place, put yourself together. When everybody will put themselves together, then the world will be together too. So Mashiach, the Geula, will come when everybody brings out their perfection, their talents, their abilities, their capabilities, and then the perfection of each individual will lead to the perfection of the world. That's why Sefer Shmos is Sefer HaGeula. Because where is the Geula contained? In the names of Bnei Yisrael. So it's very good that Shmos and Sefer HaGeula go together. Okay, now let's get back to Yaakov Avinu. There are two ways that Mashiach can come. One's called Be'ita, in its proper time, and the other is called Achishema, quicker, faster, earlier. Meaning the following. There's a set time that Hashem Yisbarach ordained when he created the world that Mashiach has to come by that time. There's a certain day, certain hour, certain minute that's when Mashiach has to come by that time. But if we deserve it, it'll come earlier. That's Achishema. In other words, there's a deadline. That's called the Kates, the end. Mashiach, even if we deserve it, don't deserve it, it's going to come by that time. If we deserve it, we can make it come any day, earlier. That's Be'ita and Achishev. Yaakov Avinu wanted to tell his children when that Kates was, when that final date was, when Mashiach would come. And he looks at the names of the Shvatim, and he sees there's no Chet. Chet means a sin, but it also means Chisaron. There's nothing missing in their names. Their talents, abilities, capabilities are potentially perfect. There's nothing missing. So he says, wow, they have that potential for perfection. I can tell them when Mashiach is going to come. Then he looked again, and he saw that the letters Kates don't appear in their names either. Not for a bad reason. For a good reason. Because if they will bring out their potential, their names, we won't have to wait for the Kates. There won't be any Kates. We won't have to wait for the end. It'll come much sooner. It'll come in Achishena. So because there's nothing missing in their names have the potential for perfection, there's no Kates in their names either, because we don't have to ever wait for the end, for the deadline, we'll be able to bring Mashiach closer. So it's not that there's no Kates is a bad thing, it's a good thing. Because since their names have the potential for perfection, they have the potential to bring Mashiach closer and will never have to get to the Kates, to the deadline, to that final time. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu said the following. He thought that the reason he wouldn't be able to say the Kates is because something was wrong with his children. But now he sees it's just the opposite. It's because everything's right with them. They won't have to wait till the Kates. Bring it earlier. So he said, instead of telling you when the final deadline's going to be, I'm going to tell you something better. I'm going to tell you how to bring it closer. How is that? People have potential. They have talents, abilities, capabilities. But if you don't know what you possess, then it's worthless. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Chaviv ha'adam shenivra b'tzelem Elokim. People are precious. They were created in God's image. Chiba yisera no das lahem shenivra b'tzelem Elokim. But there's an extra preciousness. They were told they were created b'tzelem Elokim. You could be created b'tzelem Elokim. If you don't know it, then you'll never do anything about it. If somebody tells you that you are created b'tzelem Elokim, then you can make use of that mila that you have. The biggest bracha you can give someone, whether it's a teacher or a parent, the biggest bracha you can give somebody is to let them know what they can do, what their talents are, what their abilities are, what they possess that they could make use of, right? To let them know. And in addition, to let them know what they can't do. That's also a bracha. I'll give you an example. Let's say you see somebody who has the most terrible voice, singing voice, that you ever heard in your life. When that person starts to sing, everybody runs away. Right? That's how bad it is. Really bad. It's like dragging your nails on a chalkboard. That's how bad they sound. And you see that person going to the library, taking out a stack of books on how to be a chazan. Wouldn't it be a bracha to go over to him and say, look, you know, you could do a lot of things, but don't be a chazan. Because the first time that you open your mouth, you won't have a minion. People are going to run away in terror. Right? So don't waste your time preparing and learning how to be a chazan. It's just not for you. You don't have the voice to be a chazan. Be a writer, be a clown, be something, not a chazan. So it's a bracha. Instead of letting the person waste his time, right? And in the end, that's not him. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu said, I could tell my children when the deadline is, when the cage is, but I have something better to tell them. I'll tell them how they can bring it closer, because the cage won't exist in their names if they bring out their names properly, but they have to know what their names are. They have to know what they can do and what they can't do. Reuven, you could have been a king, you could have been the Bechor, you could have been the Melech, the Kohen. It's not for you. Don't waste your time on those things, but you're Reuven. Bring out what Reuven can bring out. But don't waste your time on the things that are not you. Shimon and Levi, you have a problem with your anger. I'm going to help you control it. I'm going to curse your anger and help you to control it so you can then bring out your potential properly. And each of the other ones, you have the qualities of a donkey and you have the qualities of a snake, good qualities. Recognize them. Bring them out. So instead of telling them when the deadline for Mashiach was, Yaakov Avinu said, I have something better to tell them. I'll tell them who they are, what they are, what their talents are that they can bring out, and that'll bring Mashiach faster. So there won't be any cage. We'll have to wait till the deadline. And that is the Medrash with the king's friend. Let's go back and we'll see it. It's a different idea completely. The king's friend is dying. And he wants to tell his children the mysteries, the secrets that the king confided in him, told him. And he sees the king standing there and he says something else. Now, you normally think that the reason he did that is because he's embarrassed. He wanted to, behind the back of the king, tell the secrets the king told him. And he sees the king is there. He's not going to tell the secrets in front of the king. Now, what kind of, that's a friend of the king, who behind his back says things he doesn't want to say. That's a great friend. You have a friend that tells things behind your back that you don't want people to know. That's not a great friend. And yet the Medrash says this is the friend of the king. So I think the idea is different. I think it's things the king doesn't mind if he tells people. Not at all. The reason he didn't say it is not because he was embarrassed, but for a different reason. The man wants to tell his children the special things the king told him, because he's his friend. And he sees the king is standing there by his bed amongst his children. So he says to himself the following, I could tell my children these special things that the king told me, but then they'll hear it from me secondhand. The king is right here. I'm going to tell my children something better. I'm going to tell them how they can become friends of the king. And then the king will tell it to them directly. Isn't that better that you hear it directly from the king than hear it from me? So he tells his children, Zaharu b'kvodo shel melech. If you're careful of the honor of the king, he's right here amongst you. He'll be your friend, and he'll tell you those things directly. You won't have to hear it from me. You'll hear it directly from him. That's what the marshal means. Now it fits the nimshel perfectly, the way we described it. Yaakov Avinu calls his children in, and he says, I want to tell you when Mashiach's going to come. He sees, though, that in their names, they have the ability to bring it closer. He says, you know what? Instead of me telling you the secrets of the king when Mashiach's going to come, I'll tell you how you can bring it closer. You get to be friendly with the king, and he'll bring it closer for you. You don't have to wait till the deadline. It's exactly the same marshal and nimshel. That's what it means. So that is the brachos that Yaakov gave his children. He told them who they are, what they can do, and in that way he didn't have to tell them when the cates was, when the final deadline for Mashiach, he told them how to bring it closer. That's the bracha that we give our children. What bracha do we give our children? Yisimcha Elokim, Kefrayim v'chimenasha, to boys. We'll get to the girls in a second. Why do we give him a bracha to be like Ephraim and Asher? Why don't we give him a bracha to be like Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? Or at least Reuven and Shimon? Why Ephraim and Manasseh? The answer is that the Avos created a certain potential. Where does the potential of every Jew come from? From our Avos and Imos. They created the potential of Klal Yisrael. And that's why they're called Avos. Avos doesn't mean just fathers. It means the like Av Malacha on Shabbos. Avos Malachos. They're the source. They're the main thing. And everything else, the Tolvos, come from that. Our Avos and Imahos, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, created the potential that every Jew then has part of. It comes from our Avos. And how do I know that that potential exists in every Jew? Every Jew has the ability to be like the Avos, because a little bit of the Avos is in them. And that's why it says, everybody has to say, Chayiv Adam Lomar, Mosa Yagiyu Maisai, Lemaisai Avosai Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Because within each and every one of us is part of the Avos. It's all there. It continues on generation after generation. We have the genes, the spiritual genes of our Avos. How do you know that? How do you know it does continue on? So if you would tell me, because, well, Reuven and Shimon, right, had the midos of the Avos, they had those qualities, no raya. They grew up amongst the Avos in Eretz Yisrael, so they got it. How do I know it goes beyond them? The answer is from Ephraim Menashe. It says by Ephraim Menashe, V'yikari bohem shimi V'shem Avosai Avraham V'Yitzchak. In these two boys is my name and the name of my Avos, which means they have the qualities, name, the abilities, capabilities, talents that they got from the Avos. It's in them. Okay. Now, they didn't grow up amongst the Avos. They never saw the Avos. Yaakov, they saw only later on in life. And they didn't grow up in Eretz Yisrael. They grew up in Mitzrayim. And still, they had the quality of the Avos. So you see that if they have it, everybody has it. So the bracha we give our children is Yisimcha Elokim Kefrayim V'Chemenasha. Just like Ephraim and Menasha have the potential of the Avos, we want you to have that potential too. We don't give them a bracha, they should be like Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, because Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov created that potential. We don't create potential. We get the potential and we have to realize it. We have to bring it out. The Avos created that potential. So you can't give them a bracha to be like the Avos, but you give them the bracha that the potential that you got from the Avos, bring it out. Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim, you have tremendous potential, just like Ephraim Menasha did. And they had no reason why they would have it more than you have a reason. You're part of the lineage of the Avos. So you have that same potential. Because they didn't grow up in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't grow up amongst the Avos, and they still had it, so you have it too. That's what we tell our children. Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim V'Ephraim Menasha. That's the case why the girls get the bracha Yisimcha Elokim Kesara Rivka Rachav Aleya. L'chora, I told you we can't give a bracha to be like the Avos, because the Avos created potential. We just realized potential. So the most we can be is like the Shvatim. But to tell them to be like Reuven and Shimon wouldn't be a proof that they have what Reuven and Shimon had. Because Reuven and Shimon were in Eretz Yisrael, they grew up in Eretz Yisrael, they grew up amongst the Avos, so they had it. You don't have it. But if Ephraim Menashe had it, then everybody has it. So why by girls do we give them a bracha to be like Sarah Rivka Rachel Valeya? So I have two answers. One you're going to like and one not so much. The first answer is that women can create potential. The men can only realize the potential they got from the others. But women were given a koach to create new potential. How so? They have children. They can bring a new life into the world. So they can be mamish like Sarah Rivka Rachel Valeya. A woman can bring new potential to the world, and therefore she can be mamish like the imahos. A man doesn't bring new potential, he just brings out the potential that he has. That one, I'm sure you like. That's the other one. The other one is that the imahos didn't create any potential either. They just helped their husbands create that potential. But the avos created the potential, the imahos just were helpmates, an ezer kenegdo to their husbands. They didn't create potential, so a girl could be like the imahos too. They didn't create potential, and they could also be like the imahos to bring out the potential. They helped bring out the potential in their husbands. So you can also bring out potential. But nobody creates potential. So the men can't be like the avos who created potential. And the women could be like the imahos because they didn't create potential anyway. You pick one, which one you like, and that's those are the answers. What? No, I just thought of two different possible answers. They're both my own answers, because the question is my question, because it's built based on what I explained. So whichever answer, when I'm speaking to men, I say one, and when I speak to women, I say the other. No, both of them are possible answers. I don't know, I never thought to see Taka if the imahos created potential or not. It could be not. Right? So both answers are possible. Not sure which one is the more MS one. Okay, in any case, so that is the parsha of the brachos of Yaakov. Explains why the brachos were given what they are and why they were a substitute for wanting to reveal to them when Mashiach comes. Basically, accomplish the same thing in a much better way than telling the deadline how to bring it a lot closer. Okay, have a good Shabbos.